Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited, and as always, we are working on your financial freedom. Hey, for today's show, I want to start with 30,000 foot view, right? I want to start with a big picture, and then over the course of the show, we're going to dial it in. We're going to dial it in, and we're going to take a very narrow focus on a very specific part of the real estate investing process. So big picture, I want to start by looking specifically at single family investing, and I want to make sure that you understand how we make money. We make money five ways. We're going to talk about those very briefly. And then I want to talk just a little bit about the primary model that we use as single family investors, as members at Lifestyles Unlimited. That's going to be the big picture. And talking about that model is going to set the stage for then dialing it in a bit and taking that narrower focus. What I want to do then is dive into the settlement statement. Okay, I'll tell you what that is later. Well, you know, actually, let me just tell you now that it's that document that you get when you go to close, right, in advance of closing. And it essentially shows you where the money's coming from, where the money's going, right, line items, essentially. And that's part of the closing process. And what I want to do then is discuss some of the ways that you can save money at the closing table and even make money. Really, even make money. I'm going to give you basically a tax strategy that you can use at this time of year, call it a year-end tax strategy, to help you actually possibly make as much as a few thousand dollars on your next single-family deal, right? There are a couple other things we'll talk about that'll help you save some cash and ultimately improve your return on investment, right? Again, primarily through lower cash out of pocket. Money you keep is less into the deal. And of course, that extra cash, especially from that tax strategy, can really help you as a one-off. Now, if you've not caught the show before, I want you to understand, Lifestyles Unlimited is an education and mentoring group. And what we do is we focus on helping you achieve your financial freedom that I mentioned in the opening of the show. We want to see you retire in 5 years or less. Okay. And we do that by using two very specific investment vehicles. Number one, we already mentioned, that's the single family house, right? Or rental house. Number one. Number two, multifamily apartments, right? Taking down apartment complexes. Now we're not going to get into that today. We're going to focus on those single family houses. And just so you know, I, Andy Webb, I am a member at Lifestyles Unlimited. I have been since March of 2012. And since we joined, we went down the single family track. I'm a single family investor. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we did just that. We achieved our financial freedom just by building a portfolio of single family houses, right? Over time. We retired my wife, in fact, in 3 years from starting. I've downshifted. I do work part-time. I like what I do. I enjoy what I do. So I choose to keep working, but we've built that financial freedom that gives us that peace of mind, especially right now with the chaos going on around us. But we built that portfolio, and that has gotten us to the finish line. In fact, we've just now gotten into our first couple of multifamily deals, as passive investors, and we're now looking forward to building that portfolio as well. But again, if you're new to the show, I want you to understand that Lifestyles Unlimited, like I said, we teach you how to invest in single family and in multifamily apartments so that you can achieve your financial freedom as well. Okay. Now, apartments, commercial sounds big, right? Why single family? Why single family? Why do we do that? Why did I choose to do that? Well, look at this. You make money five ways, as I already mentioned. Okay. And I want to make sure you understand that, because again, that's the big picture. That's the big picture. The things we're doing here, the way that we're making our money through these investment properties, in investment houses specifically, they're going to get us to that retirement finish line, and they're going to help us build wealth. So number one, the primary way that we're going to make money is through the monthly cash flow. Okay, when you're looking at a deal, it has to cash flow. If it doesn't cash flow, don't do the deal. Okay, and cash flow, what do I mean? Well, we're collecting a rent every month from our resident. Okay, we're paying the principal and interest, the mortgage, we're paying the taxes, we're paying the insurance, right? At the end of the day, after we pay our expenses, we've got some net cash flow that's going into our pocket. One house could be anywhere from $200, $300, $400, $500 a month. And as you build that portfolio like we did, you get to house five, number five or six, suddenly you're bringing in $2,500, $3,000 a month, and it's replaced your part of your income, maybe your spouse's income, maybe it's covered some or all of your expenses. That is the financial freedom. That comes from the monthly cash flow. Very important. There are four other ways, though. Four other ways. Next one is equity capture, right? We follow a specific model at Lifestyles Unlimited, and we know how to buy right. One of Del Walmsley. Del Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited back in 1990. One of his rules of investing is it must cash flow. We already talked about that. Another rule of investing, don't lose money. And we make sure we don't lose money by buying right. And we're typically targeting assets that are distressed in some way. Either the asset itself is distressed because it's just run down, it's in poor shape, it needs work, or the seller is distressed. Think about the pandemic, all the job loss. Everyone's hurting. A lot of people out there are hurting right now. It's unfortunate, but that could turn into that distressed seller situation. There is a moratorium right now on foreclosures, which is good for people, perhaps, if they can get their situation cleared up. But you may see come at the end of the year that there are a lot of distressed sellers out there. So we go in, we make an offer, and we get a discount. And because of that discount, we've captured equity immediately. Number three, we get the house fixed up. Right? Best product, best price is our motto. We're going to fix everything that we think needs fixing or could break in the next couple of years. And we put the best product on the market. We market it at the best price and we get the best people. We get them in there very, very quickly. And they start to pay that rent. They pay it on time. I have had no problems during the course of the pandemic with any of my residents paying rent. We've collected everything in full. And as they pay my rent, I pay my mortgage and I see my equity build up through that principal pay down. Number three. Number four, well, natural appreciation happens. We've seen it over the last decade here in Dallas-Fort Worth and across Texas and across the nation. It's tremendous. Appreciation, and finally, there are tax advantages. Now, we're going to talk, like I said later in the show, about one tax strategy that you can follow that can net you several thousand dollars at the end of the day when you close on a house this very time of year. So stay tuned. We'll get to that. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. This is Andy Webb. We'll be right back.
Del Walmsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and on today's show, we've started big picture, right? In the first segment, we looked at the big picture as real estate investors, specifically single-family investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. We invest in two vehicles, either the single-family, the houses that we're renting out, or multifamily, commercial, and apartments, really. And we're going to focus today on the single-family. And big picture-wise, I wanted you to understand the five ways that we make money. We talked through those. Now, if you have any questions, if you want to follow up on that, let me advise you, let me tell you, go check out freeworkshoplivestream.com. We conduct a free workshop live online. I attended one of these live in person years ago, but we're doing those online at the moment. And you can register, you can attend. It's about an hour and a half from the comfort of your home in your pajamas and learn more. Learn more about those five ways, learn more about the model. But that's freeworkshoplivestream.com. RealEstateInvestorRadioShow.com. And we've got a number of those still coming up this year. I'm telling you, get in there, get it done, hit the ground running in 2021. The most common regret that I hear from other investors is that they did not start sooner. My regret as well. If I knew what I know now, I would have done this back in my 20s easily. So get started. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. So we looked big picture at the ways we make money on our single family houses. Now I'm going to take a step closer to the process. We're going to talk about our buying model, the one that we use predominantly as Lifestyles members as when we take down a single family house. And then we're going to dial it in, like I said, to a narrower focus and look at that settlement statement and some ways that you can save some money there, or even make some money, thousands of dollars potentially. Now, if you do have questions today, the number here in the studio, it's 855-497-4335. Again, 855-497-4335. Or send me an email if you have questions on this topic or anything else. That is askandy@luinc.com. Now, when we go out and we buy a house, I already told you when we were talking about the cash flow and equity capture that we're targeting assets or sellers that are typically distressed. Not always, but commonly. Okay. And let's talk about that process in particular because it's very unique. And let's say the asset is distressed. It needs work and sometimes significant work such that it can never qualify for conventional loans. Fannie Mae simply will not touch that house because it's in bad shape. It doesn't even have to be terribly rough. No carpet in the bedrooms, that may disqualify it. Got a broken window, that may disqualify it. It can be pretty light lift and still be disqualified. And because of that, we need to find an alternative. Or the seller is in a real fast hurry to sell. December 31st, foreclosure moratorium ends. What's going to happen? I don't know. Stay tuned. We'll see. But all of a sudden, a lot of those guys are headed towards the foreclosure sale on the courthouse steps, and they need to sell in a hurry. They don't have time to wait 30, 45 days or longer for that conventional loan to clear. So what do? We buy with hard money because those guys, they can close fast, and they don't care about the condition of the property. What happens is we find that house. Let's say it needs work. A lot of work. And we go out there with our general contractor, maybe a few other trades, HVAC, AC guy, and plumber, so on. And we say, okay, what do we need to do? We put together a scope of work based on what we've seen in the neighborhood, those sold comps, other houses that have sold that we want to model because we want to get the value that we see with those houses, with their sales, as well as the lease comps, right? We want to make sure we're in line with what's leasing in the area because the target here now then, once we're done fixing it up, is to rent it out. So we're going to get that scope of work together. We're going to submit that to our hard money lender. Why is it called a hard money lender? Is the process difficult? No, it's very easy. And it's backed by a hard asset. It is secured. That loan is secured with a hard asset. Therefore, it is hard money. And what that lender is going to do, they're going to get an appraiser. They're going to send them out. They're going to send them with that scope of work, and the appraiser is going to go out there and say, well, they're doing this and that. They're putting in, fixing that foundation, new roof, all cosmetic overhaul, granite countertops where it was formica, new cabinets, fresh paint, everything else. Based on that, what I'm seeing in the sold comps, this is the value. This is what the value will be when that asset is fully fixed up and ready to go. That hard money lender, this is the cool part. They're going to lend based on that after repair value, that expected value. 70% of that expected value, 75, I've even seen 80, even higher. So that's our loan amount. And because of that, we're able to take down that asset that's going to cover our purchase price and possibly some or maybe even all of our renovations. Depends on your spread. So that's our process. We buy with hard money. We've got our scope of work. So we get our crew in there once we've closed and they fix it up. They do the renovations. We're not doing them. They're doing them because they're doing it higher quality work than I'm ever going to do and a heck of a lot faster. And once the renovations are done, we get the place rented out. And parallel to that, we also go through a refinance because we are in a hard money loan. It is high interest. And we don't want to sit in that thing too long. We never do. We refinance out into that conventional loan that we could not qualify on the basis of the property for before. So we refi into that conventional loan, 30-year term, fixed rate. Amazing. Amazing interest rates right now. Sub 3%, maybe. 3 and some change. Talked to an investor the other day that just got 2.75%. So who doesn't want to lock that in? That is an amazing, amazing inflation hedge. So as part of the process, you see, we go through two closings. We close when we buy with that hard money. We fix it up, get it rented, and then we refinance and we have a second close. But here's the cool thing. With this model, we wind up having way less cash out of pocket using this model than we would by going straight conventional, by buying with 20% down and then doing the renovations. And in spite of two closings, It's amazing. You know, I did a deal a few years ago by way of example. I analyzed both sides. What if I just go straight conventional? I'd be $25,000 out of pocket. So I went hard money. It was a very minor lift, then did the refi on the back end. We were around 10, 12K out of pocket, half the money to into the deal. So that's why we do it. Now, two closings. We're going to get to the settlement statement in just a minute because now we're going to have two of those things, right? Before we get there, let's talk title. Let's talk title first because most commonly, right, investors are going to close with a title company, okay? That's who's going to prepare. That's who's going to prepare that settlement statement for you. So you might have the question then naturally, right? Well, which title company should I use? And I'll tell you, there are a lot of them out there. There really are. I've talked to hard money lenders and said, you know, who do you guys see performing best? There are some good ones. There are some bad ones. So how do you figure out who to use? And this is where the savings start to come into play. Now, sometimes you don't have a choice. Over the years, we've bought deals directly from sellers. We've bought deals off of the MLS. We've bought deals from wholesalers. So it depends on where you're sourcing your deals. If you're sourcing from a wholesaler, they probably have a preferred title company that they work with where they've already opened title as soon as they've gotten that house under contract. What is a wholesaler? Let's clarify that real quick. A wholesaler is out there marketing to the broader public. They're doing that legwork for you, essentially. They're finding those discounted deals. They're getting them under contract. And then they're marketing that contract to you. They're selling a contract, essentially, and you pay an assignment fee and you buy that contract from them, which then allows you to close on that property instead of them. So because of that, they've already opened title. They have their preferred title companies where they know things are going to go smoothly, where they know the costs are going to be a little bit lower. So you're going to be bound to that. If you're buying off the MLS very commonly, and when I say MLS, that's where the real estate agents go to market properties, very commonly, they're going to have a preferred title company. So just use that. You don't want to create rancor by saying, well, I insist on this company over here, especially if you're going to have them paying for any kind of closing costs. Use their company. Now, we're going to head into a break. When we come back, I want to wrap up this conversation on title company. We'll shift gears into looking at ways you can save on the settlement statement. Stay tuned.
And now a word on retirement from Del Wamsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60, then they said 64, then it was 65, then it was 66, then all of a sudden they jump right to 70. 70 is the new 59, 70 is the new 64, then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work on your 80s, or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today we are slowly dialing in, getting closer to our target, which is that closing document, that settlement statement. And I want to give you a few ways you can save money by way of your closing process. And not just save money, but you can make some money if you do things right. And in the earlier segment, we looked at kind of bigger picture stuff, five ways we make money on our single family houses, on our single family rentals. I want you to understand that because that's really the driver. That's going to get you to your financial freedom. The stuff we're talking about today, it's fine tuning later. We'll talk about, but that bigger picture stuff, you got to get that. And if you want more, if you want to learn more, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. We do our free workshops live online. It's about an hour and a half. It is free. We've got a few more in December. So get to one of those, get the bigger picture. And there are other topics, of course, that they'll get into, a few case studies around both, not just single family, but multifamily investing as well. Now, if you've got questions for me today, the number here in the studio, it's 855-497-4335, or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. I like to address those on the show when I can, of course. If not, I'll take those off air as well, obviously. Now, we're talking about title companies because as you get closer to closing, as we dial in our show today and get a little bit narrower in scope, well, that takes us to the closing table, and that's going to happen, should happen, at a title company. Now, I know some yahoos out there that are like, ah, the heck with that. I'm confident. I've been doing this for long enough. I'm going to go close at the Burger King. I'm going to get a mobile notary. I don't need title insurance. I'm just going to do it this way and save a couple bucks. Be careful. Don't jump over a dollar, you know, to save a nickel. There are things that can bite you. Okay, we're going to talk about that. So as far as using a title company, who should that be? Sometimes you're required to use who the wholesaler We talked about a wholesaler in the prior segment, who they have on their contract. Somebody that they've used. Wholesalers typically are doing volume, so they're going to have a preferred title company. You're going to run with that. If you're picking up a deal off the MLS, something a realtor has listed, they don't always, but commonly will have a preferred title company. Just run with that. If they don't have one and you have your preferred, use that one, obviously. Now, personally, when we do a deal directly with a seller, not through a wholesaler, not through one of the Lifestyles Realty team, we always offer to pay the standard closing costs. So guess what? I want to use my preferred title company because we have a relationship. They're part of our team and they give us a great deal. So that's one way you can save money on the closing process is by establishing that relationship, building that team, getting that title company on your team. And I know for sure I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth. If you are a member at Lifestyles and you go out to the vendor hub, I know there is a title company out there. Check them out. If you're not a member, I'll tell you a little bit later how you can become a member and have access to that vendor hub. But that's one way to start. Now, what kind of fees and charges? That's probably a driver, part of the decision-making process in choosing a title company. Now, first and foremost, understand that in Texas, one of the big ticket items that you're going to see on that settlement statement is the title insurance itself. And that is a fixed rate. It's going to be the same for every title company out there. It's set by the state of Texas. It is a percentage of the purchase price or the loan amount. Normally, you're going to have title insurance for each of those. You, the buyer, want a title insurance on your purchase for the purchase price, and that lender is going to require it. Okay, whether you're closing on the house with hard money or through a conventional loan, you're going to have to get title insurance for that loan amount. So don't worry about that. It's standard. Now, escrow fees, that can vary widely. Ask the question, what's it going to cost? I have seen a couple $100s. I have seen $1,000 per side when it's a lawyer, typically. We bought a house out of divorce, had to use that lawyer. It was expensive. We paid both sides, but we got a great deal either way. But ask that question for your ongoing team, your ongoing title company. What about a mobile notary? What's that going to cost you? Is that covered out of that escrow fee that you're paying? Right, the escrow fee is what you pay to the title company for their handling of the closing. And each side typically pays that. You buyer pay that, seller pays that. Sometimes I offer to pay both, like I said. Sometimes in a normal real estate, retail, non-investment transaction, the seller in a buyer's market will offer to pay that. We're in more of a seller's market now, so you, the buyer, may want to do that. So give that some thought as well. But know what those fees are going to be. There are a lot of other fees that you're going to see on a settlement statement, you know, flood certificate, sundry, you know, the cost of the lawyer, any sort of any number of affidavits that may be part of that settlement. Those are going to be fairly standard. So don't worry so much about that. It's that escrow fee that you want to focus on. And those are negotiable. Okay. And like I said, look for volume discounts. Let them know, hey, I'm an investor. I'm a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. I plan to do, my goal is to buy this many houses this year. What sort of closing cost or sort of escrow fees can I expect? Now, I do get the occasional question, should I even get title insurance? Absolutely. Like I said, don't jump over that dollar to save a nickel. It's imperative. It's a great way to protect yourself from financial loss, essentially, as well as any kind of associated legal expenses that might come up. Let's say if there's what they call a defect in title. Title company does their research. They're into preventative insurance, making sure everything checks out before you get to the closing table. What if they missed something? Well, now they're on the hook for it because you have title insurance. You want to get that. Imagine buying a house and putting $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 into rehab, and then maybe not even the seller comes up to you, but the seller before that, there was a defect in title. The chain of title is broken. What's going to happen? What do? You lean on your title company, right? You put all this money into this house. You want to make sure you hang on to it, right? The one and only time that I personally have used the title insurance is because the title company missed one of the prior year's tax payments that the deceased, as it were, naturally had not paid. I bought with hard money in April, did my renovations, got the family in there, the residents, and when I went to pay the taxes January of the following year, because I push that off as long as I can typically, I noticed, whoa, there's a couple $1,000s worth of taxes from 2 years ago. I just took that to the title company. They said, oh, I'm sorry, our mistake. They cut a check. That was resolved. It saved me, I think it was like $3,500, a lot of money. Right? Just due to their mistake. So get that title insurance. If we had not had that, who's on the hook? I'm on the hook. So what is a settlement statement? So I mentioned that a couple times. We're getting closer. We're drilling down a little bit more. And depending on how long, if you've invested in the past, you may have seen these. If you bought your own house in the past, you may have seen these. So when you get to the closing table, actually prior to getting to the closing table, you should see a settlement statement that outlines all of the monies that are exchanging hands, monies that you're bringing to the table, the loan, any cash out of pocket, any property taxes to be paid, what the seller is receiving. Are they bringing anything to the table? Sellers' concessions, etc. Commission to the realtor, that assignment fee for the wholesaler. If you bought from a wholesaler, that will be a line item on there as well. Way, way back, I say way back, going back 5 years now, we used to exclusively see what was called the HUD 1. Well, if you think even farther back, 2010, what happened then? Dodd-Frank bill was passed. The full name was something like Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2010. Well, as part of that act, it was required that lenders, retail lenders more so, shift to now what is called a closing disclosure. It looks a little bit different. Okay. Among other things, you have to receive that in your hands 3 days before closing. I told you sometimes we're moving so fast because of the distressed seller. We got to close fast. I've gotten the HUD one, as it were, the settlement statement, an hour or two before closing. We're finalizing everything very, very fast. Now, because of that, and because hard money is not regulated, they still use the HUD one. It's a lot simpler. It's 2 pages. It doesn't have a lot of fluff. If I look now at the what's now called the closing disclosure, when you go to your refi side, you're going to get that closing disclosure. They're required to use that. It's 5 pages. It's got a lot of consumer type information. Hey, your total amount of interest paid over the life of this loan is going to cost you this much. If you hold the loan this long, it's going to cost you this much. Your loan amount, your interest rate. Well, of course, I appreciate knowing that. I know what that is. My monthly principal and interest. I know what that is. What is my escrow expected to be for taxes and insurance? By the way, I don't escrow. Doesn't matter. Very important piece of information that is on here and that you always want to look for. Is there a prepayment penalty? No. Is there a balloon payment because we're doing 30-year fixed? No. But other than that, the information, the line items are essentially the same. They're just bucketed. They're just bucketed a little bit differently. Now, when we come back, let's talk about saving money as part of the closing process. Stay tuned.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time. This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. We are in our final segment here, and we've been slowly dialing in, getting more and more focused during the course of the show. If you missed the earlier part, we started out talking about buying single-family houses, the ways that we make money there, and we talked about the process. And as part of the typical process we're using at Lifestyles Unlimited, we're closing twice. We're closing when we buy using hard money. The house needs work, so we can't get a conventional loan. We buy with hard money. We fix it up, and then we refinance out of that hard money into a conventional long-term, 30-year, fixed-rate, wonderful, wonderful interest rate loan right now. You know, buddy of mine just got one for 2.75%. I mean, it's amazing out there right now. Great time to be investing. And because of the process, we're closing twice. We close once on hard money. We close again then when we do our refi. And I was just telling you ahead of the break about the settlement statement that you'll get as part of the closing process, normally ahead of the process. In fact, in some cases, it has to be 3 days ahead. If you're buying with hard money, they're not regulated in the same way that the Fannie Mae lenders are. They will typically use the HUD 1. It's my preferred statement as well. It's simpler. It's just line items. I can read it. It's easy to read. It's easy to compare. Now, when you go to refi, that is a federally regulated part of the process with that retail lender, with Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac backed lenders, and they're going to use what's called a closing disclosure. They're both settlement statements. They look a little bit different. That came out of the Dodd-Frank Act. And it requires, among other things, that you have that in your hands 3 days before you close. That already slows the process down, doesn't it? It's got a lot of fluffy information in there to help you, the quote-unquote consumer, but we as investors, we're a little bit more savvy. I gloss through that. I look at the key items that I need to see, but the nuts and bolts of it are the same. The line items will be bucketed a little bit differently, but you're going to see the escrow fee, for example. And I would encourage you, one place to start saving money in advance of closing is to, if you've done any deals at all, go back and look at each of those closing statements and see what was the escrow fee. On the last deal I did, I see here that I paid $150 escrow fee to this company on the hard money closing, and then $200 as part of the refi close. Now, we're using repeat business here, of course, so you're closing with a lawyer, it's going to be a lot higher. When we've done that as well, when we've done divorce deals, they flow through the divorce court and attorneys, of course, that does tend to cost a little bit more. Now, if you've got any questions on this topic or anything we've talked about today, send me an email, askandy@luinc.com. So you can save money by reviewing those escrow fees, asking in advance, what's it going to cost me? Now, question I got, and actually what triggered this whole show was somebody asked me, should I get a survey? The seller has one. You know, I was curious, so I went back and started flipping through some of my settlement statements to see, you know, what have I been paying for a survey? Here's the thing. Should you get a survey? Well, if you're following our model, at some point you are going to have to get one. The hard money lender probably won't require that, but when you get to the closing for that refinance, right, that Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac-backed loan, it's conforming, it has to have certain things about it, it has to have a survey, so you're going to have to get it at a minimum then. Now, here's where you save yourself some money. Ask a very simple question. Seller or seller's realtor, do you have a survey? In this case, my buddy is saying, well, seller has a survey. Do I need to get a new one? No, you don't need to. Ask your title company, of course. They may say, well, that one's a little bit old. We may want to have you go ahead and get a new one. But commonly, no. You know, a lot of folks haven't bought their houses all that long ago, or what I'm seeing a lot of now, maybe they bought their houses 50, 60, 70 years ago, but with all the equity that we've seen, all the appreciation, what are they doing? They're going out and doing cash out refis. Last house we bought, they had done a cash out refi 8 years ago and were required to get a survey. They gave me that survey. It's that simple. Saved me $300, $400, $500, whatever the going rate of the survey company is now, somewhere in that range. All I had to do is say, seller, here's what's called a T-47 affidavit. You just need to tell me, you know, sign, attest that no changes have been made to that survey in that time, and we're good to go. That's all it took. Right. And commonly on those older homes, right, you're buying the house that still has the chain link fence that was put into place 50, 60, 70 years ago. Nothing's changed. It's a platted property. Very simple to run with that. You know, some investors, what they'll do to save money is instead of getting that at the hard money close, they'll wait to the refi on these type of platted properties. And because what we're seeing of late is so much appreciation in the market that they're getting a higher value than expected on the refi. So they'll just roll that cost of that survey in to the refi funding, the cash and that they're getting out of the deal. Now, if you're buying in a more rural area, what's called a meets and bounds type property, that's how they're legally described, you know, starting at point X by the old oak tree down by the river, going 50 feet to the north, and then 57 feet to the northeast to the little bar that's, you know, hanging from the tree there, so on and so forth, you're going to have to get a survey, period, and you should. Out there in the country, things tend to change a little bit more. So that's one way, though, to save on the closing is just ask that seller, do you have a survey? Ask your title company, is this sufficient? Get that T-47 affidavit done. The title company will handle that for you. And you've saved $300, $400, $500 right there. Now, you've gotten to the closing. You've got that settlement statement. You've signed it. Your seller has signed it. Remember, we talked about the five ways we make money. We buy right, and we capture equity by getting good deals, right? By getting discounts. So if you're buying below market and below the current tax valuation, it is typically enough to just simply go down to your appraisal district with that settlement statement, point to the line on the HUD-1, it's item 101, contract purchase price, $80,000. Get it lowered. It's that simple. Half the time, I don't have to provide pictures. I don't have to provide contractor estimates, none of that stuff. So if you're buying a house and the expected repair value is $180,000, it's on the tax rolls at $150,000, and you bought it for $80,000, just show them that settlement, get it dropped. And here's something that's interesting as well, something to think about. If you are buying from a wholesaler, what did I describe earlier in the show? They are typically putting some form of assignment fee on top of the purchase price that they have negotiated with the seller. So let's say they negotiated $80,000 with the seller. It's a smoking deal. It's going to value at $180,000. So they decide, well, I think I can probably get away with a $20,000 assignment fee. I've seen them that high. If the numbers work, the numbers work. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Don't have a scarcity mentality. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. If you're approaching this with an abundance mentality, you understand that the pie, it gets bigger and it can get bigger. Don't worry about what they're earning. Numbers work, the numbers work. But here's the thing. This wholesaler's got that under contract for $80,000, charging you $20,000. In your mind, you're paying $100,000 for that property. And you are. You certainly are. But now, here's what happens. On your settlement statement, it's going to show line 101, contract purchase price, $80,000. That is what is on the underlying contract that wholesaler negotiated. $20,000 assignment fees called out separately on a separate line item. All you do is you highlight line 101, $80,000, circle it, underscore it, hand that to the appraisal district. They're not going to pay attention to the commission to the realtor. They're not going to pay attention to the assignment fee to the wholesaler. Boom, you've just knocked an additional $20,000 off of that property. And if your tax value or tax rate is 3%, that's a $600 savings right there. Now, let's take it one step further. If you're closing right now at the end of the year, let's talk about a year-end strategy for money to save. Again, you bought that house for $80,000 prior to the assignment. If he needs a lot of work, market value is around $180,000. Tax rolls has it at $150,000. You've got it at a significant discount. Look up section 25.25D of the Texas code. It allows you to protest at any time outside of the protest window if that property is considered overvalued by one-third of the correct value. In this case, the correct value is your purchase price of $80,000, and you're definitely overvalued on the tax rolls. So you go down there. You protest. Now, here's the thing. You go to the closing table with your title company anytime after October onward. They're going to collect from the seller and they're going to collect from the buyer the monies that are needed to pay the property taxes for you. They pay that on your behalf. Earlier in the year, it doesn't happen. You'll get a credit from the seller. October onward, that title company will take that money and they will send that to the tax assessor. And that's good for you. Let's say you closed on December 1st. And we said that house is on the tax rolls at $150,000, 3% tax rate. That's a tax bill of $4,500 for the year. They're going to prorate that to the seller and to the buyer. If you're closing on December 1st, seller's been in there for 11 months. Their portion of the tax bill is going to be $4,130. Yours, you pay the rest for December, $370. Now you go down after closing next day. You protest. You show them that settlement statement. You've highlighted, circled, underlined that $80,000. They say no problem. They reduce the tax value for that year to $80,000 from $150,000. Now the tax bill has dropped from $4,500 to $24,000, $2,400. If you're missing the numbers, this show will be archived. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab, give it another go. But here's the beauty. The seller just paid $4,130 to the tax man. You've just got your value lowered. Taxes are now equated to $2,400. Over time, you've protested. That value is going to work its way through the system from the appraisal district to the tax assessor, and you're going to get a refund. A refund will be issued for the balance. $2,400, right? Boom. Net out that $370 that you paid at closing. You just made $2,000 by the simple act of protesting. That tax valuation is that simple. Tax strategy for year-end closings if you're closing from October onward. Hey, I hope that helps you. I hope you've gotten a lot of great information today. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And remember, if you want to learn more, go check out freeworkshoplivestream.com. You'll hear about the 5 ways we make money, much, much more. And see if the investing is for you. Great way to get retired. Thank you for listening. This is Andy Webb. And remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. You have a good afternoon.
For listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.